This is Find Your Dream Job, the podcast that helps you get hired, have the career you want, and make a difference in life. I'm Mac Pritchard, your host and publisher of Mac's List. I believe that to find a job you can love, you must stop spending all day on job boards. That's because as many as 80% of all jobs never get advertised. To find these hidden positions, you must learn how to look for work. Here's the good news. Job hunting is like any skill, and you can get good at it with study and practice. This show helps you do this. Every Wednesday on Find Your Dream Job, I talk to a different career expert. We discuss tactics and tips you can use to find your dream job. Our guest this week is Halele Azulay. She's the CEO at Talent Grow. It's a consulting company that helps develop leaders and teams. Halele is also an expert in networking. She says networking is a critical career skill everybody must master, and she knows how to do it without making you feel icky. And let's be candid, ick is probably the first word that comes to mind when I say networking, isn't it? Halele says the reason many of us react this way is because how we think about networking. We often see it as a transaction. You do something for me, but only if I do something for you. In other words, tit for tat. Successful networkers do the exact opposite, says Halele. They aren't takers, they're givers. They think about others first, not about themselves. And they know how to build a network with integrity and authenticity. According to Halele, networking is all about relationships and service to others. And when you take this approach, she says, you create ties that benefit everybody involved. Halele also offers practical advice in our interview about how to network, even if you're shy or an introvert. And she says the people who can help you the most in your career often may be the people you know the least. Want to learn more? Listen in now at the MaxList studio as I interview Halele Azulay about how to network without the ick factor. Now let's turn to this week's guest expert, Halele Azulay. She's the CEO at Talent Grow. It's a consulting company that develops leaders and teams, and she's an expert in leadership, communication skills, emotional intelligence, and authentic networking. Halele is the author of two books, Employee Development on a Shoestring and Strength to Strength, How Working from Your Strengths Can Help You Lead a More Fulfilling Life. And she hosts the weekly podcast, The Talent Grow Show. She joins us today from Calabasas, California. Halele, thanks for being on the show.
Hey, Mac. Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah. I'm excited about our topic because I love networking, but I also recognize when people hear that word, sometimes they have a very negative reaction. And I want to dive into that. But first, let's tackle a very basic question. How can networking help people get ahead in their career?
Just the fact that you said the sentence, I love networking, puts you in maybe the 1%. I don't know.
Probably. I think you're right.
I think most people would say, I hate networking because it gets a bad rep from people who misuse it and then teach others that that's what networking means. So I think that networking can absolutely help people in their career when they shift their mindset and their definition. And then everything else changes from there and you don't have to hate it anymore.
Well, what benefits can people see from networking in their career?
So let me, let me just say what my definition is, because I think, again, you can only benefit from something that you value. So I view networking as building long-term, mutually beneficial relationships. So when you think about that, building relationships, that's something that everyone already does. Everybody knows how to do that, but everybody practices it to different extents. And maybe some people don't practice it as mindfully or intentionally. But when people do begin to do networking in this definition more deliberately, more mindfully, they can expand the network of people that they're connected with, who know who they are, who value them, who want to help them. They can expand the number of people that they can add value to and help. And they can expand exponentially the number of opportunities that come their way. So opportunities can mean like, you know, many in your audience looking for a job, looking for ways to get into a new career or to reenter the workplace, or to find a different kind of role or maybe get promoted. But also opportunities can be in terms of resources and information. So for example, a lot of what we need to do in our job to succeed is to know where to find information or what information can help us do a better job. And you can't know everything. But when you know more people and a more diverse kind of group of people, then you know who to ask, so that by extension, you know everything.
So a good network can lead to insights, more information, opportunities, promotions, and more open doors.
Absolutely.
But it has to be done, you say, authentically. Tell us more about what authentic relationships look like.
Yeah. So the flip side is almost easier for in terms of what it's not. So we can all envision the situations that we've probably experienced where we felt like somebody that we just met, or maybe someone we've known, is trying to take advantage of us, or it feels like they're in it for themselves only, that they don't really care about us or our needs or what we're up to, or really want to know very much about what's going on with us, but they're really thinking about the opportunities that they're trying to uncover for themselves and how they can maybe use you to help them. And when that's a one-sided and often very transactional kind of relationship approach that someone uses, well, in relationship, I would use loosely because, you know, that might work okay in that one transaction. But most of us try to avoid having a relationship with someone once we've experienced them to be this way. So that just, you know, leaves such a bad taste in our mouth, if you will. But if we think about authentically, like who have we enjoyed connecting with? And what are the relationships that have brought us the most joy and the most mutual value? Those are relationships where we want to help that person. We genuinely care about them. We like them. We have common interests. We can speak about topics of interest to both of us, or maybe just something that they're super passionate about is just interesting to us. Maybe we don't want to do it too or care about it personally, but we care to know what's going on with them and how they're doing. So when we have those kinds of relationships of give and take, of long-term view versus transactional short-term view, we enjoy those. And that feels genuine, right? That feels real.
It does.
And that's what I mean by authentic networking.
And I'm glad you started with the definition of the negative, because you said it very eloquently, but it can be summed up in one three-letter word, can it? Ick.
Yes.
And people do
Absolutely.
Have that reaction. And I think listeners will identify with what you just described. And I think that the key here is the person who does the icky networking, if you even want to call it networking, the ick factor here is it's transactional. It's that tit for tat, isn't it?
Yeah. And that's what, I mean, really, when there were some amazing studies that were done where people were given a story that was related to networking to read. So people in one group were giving a story about networking to read, and then they were giving like a puzzle where they had to fill in missing letters to create words. And other people were not given a story related to networking. They were given either no story or some other story. And when they filled in the words in the missing letters, the people that had read a story about networking put in words that had to do with cleaning products.
Really?
And the other people didn't. So, you know, the bad rep, icky networking makes you feel dirty, and it actually literally makes you feel dirty and like you want to wash your hands with soap and shampoo and stuff. So it's not something it's very unsavory. And so we try to avoid it. And this is where people say, I hate networking, because what they're thinking about is that ick factor that they're trying to avoid. Because, you know, not only do you not enjoy when someone does it to you, but the reverse is also true, because if you think that that's what networking is and that's how you've learned to do it, then when it's time for you to look for opportunities and you're told, oh, you should network, then you take that to be a direction to go be that kind of a person. Go do that to other people. And some people, you know, they'll like put on their belt and they'll put on, you know, they'll sort of get their gumption up to go be icky with people. But you know what? That doesn't work.
Yeah. And
it doesn't work.
It doesn't. And I find that the people who are most successful in life, but also professionally, are the people who are authentic. Yeah. So we've talked about bad networking. Let's talk about the right way to do it. And your advice, where should people start? Because I think, to your point, if people have this idea that it's something icky, they're not going to have any energy. They're going to drag their feet. They're just not going to want to do it because it doesn't feel right. What's the right way to do it, and how can people get started?
Yeah. And I have so much advice that goes all the way from super philosophical all the way down to nitty gritty tactical. And I want to try to cover some of each here. But first, I would like to say, let's just make sure that because we recognize that long-term, mutually beneficial relationships are built over time, and they're built through many interactions, some of them in depth and some of them very light or short, then we must let go of this idea that networking equals a networking event. And in fact, you could successfully network without ever attending a networking event. Now, I know sometimes it's a necessary evil, right? Like you just have to go, like your job sends you, or it just makes sense to do that sometimes. So networking can include going to events, but events do not equal networking. So that opens up a lot of opportunities for a lot of different kinds of activities to be part of your networking strategy. The other thing I'd like to say is that you have to start by thinking about this since it's long term. You have to recognize that networking is something that you don't just do when you're looking for a job. In fact, it's best if you don't start doing it only when you're looking for a job, because that what ends up happening is it puts you in a very transactional and mode, but it also puts you in a position where you're seeking to get something from others. And so you might even inadvertently come across as one of those people that's looking out for themselves. That's how you're going to potentially seem to others, because you're looking for your next opportunity. But if you think about networking as something you should do all the time, then my biggest suggestion is always start by giving first and giving often. So you want to try to be the giver in the relationship so that when you need to ask for something, because that's appropriate to do in long-term relationships, you are not the person who's first asking for something or always asking for something. I'll pause here for any questions you have, but I have lots more to say.
Well, these are three very powerful ideas. I want to commend you for bringing them up, because to your point about events, I think for many listeners, that is the networking. That's how they think of it. And I know we're going to talk about other things you can do besides go to mixers or conferences or happy hours. I also like your point about thinking about building these relationships throughout your life and your career, not just when it might be advantageous to your job search. And finally, your emphasis on giving is, I think, so important, because I certainly see this in the professionals I know who are most successful. And candidly, I've seen it in my own career. When you give without any expectation of receiving in return, you just get so much back, don't you?
Yes. Yeah. And so that abundance mentality, that you can call this, says that you give first, you give often, and you give without counting, without keeping chits. So, and you think about how do other people experience you when you're like that? If you have that kind of a mentality, they experience you as someone who's generous and someone who's there for them. So when and if you ever need anything, those people are going to be clamoring to help you, because in some ways you've created a psychological debt. Now, again, you shouldn't keep tabs, but people tend to do that a little bit. So if you're the one who's been giving and helping and you need something, people are going to be really happy to have the opportunity to pay you back for all that you've done for them. So it's just a very, very good approach to building relationships. And I would love to give you some, I'd love to have listeners think about, when we talk about giving, what that might mean, because sometimes people get bogged down by, well, I don't have anything to offer. You know, like, I'm looking for a job. Well, I don't have a job to give. So what can I give? And there is so much value you can create. We can talk about what are some things that are of value that you could give.
Okay, we're going to pause for a moment. And when we come back, I do want to talk about specific things people can give. I also want to talk about mindset, because you mentioned an abundant mindset. And there's the opposite of that is the scarcity mindset.
Right.
And I've seen your blog post on that topic, and I want to explore that a little more too. So stay with us. We'll be back in just a moment, and we'll talk more about how you can network without feeling that ick factor. Stay with us. Come on, admit it. When you want to learn more about something, you Google them, don't you? I certainly do. If I have a business appointment, I look at the person's LinkedIn page. I may also visit the company website and blog. I might even peek at personal social accounts. I do this in order to make the meeting as productive as possible. It also helps me find common interests and connections, and that can help build professional relationships. Employers do the same thing when hiring. Recruiters regularly use LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter to find candidates, and countless hiring managers have told us at MaxList that they check out people online before offering a job or even an interview. What will someone see when plugging your name into a search engine? A blog post you wrote about your industry? Fuzzy vacation photos? Or even worse, nothing at all? We've got a course at MaxList that can help. It shows you how to put your best foot forward on the internet. It's called How to Wow and Woo Employers Online. And you can get it today at maxlist.org/wow. In 3 short videos, I show you how to use social media in your job search. You learn what to do about embarrassing content, why you don't want to use LinkedIn as an online resume, and how you can republish content you already created to attract the attention of recruiters. See for yourself. Go to maxlist.org/wow. Don't let that photo from your college spring break torpedo your next job offer. Get How to Wow and Woo Employers Online. Go to maxlist.org/wow. Again, that's maxlist.org/wow. Now, let's get back to the show. We're back in the MaxList studio with Leili Azulay, and she's the CEO of Talent Grow. She's also the host of the weekly podcast, The Talent Grow Show. And before the break, we were talking about generosity and mindset, and I want to talk about your specific suggestions about how people can give to others, but let's talk about mindset. You mentioned the importance of having an abundant mindset. The opposite of that, of course, is the scarcity mindset. Can you tell us about those two points of views?
Sure. So scarcity means thinking of life as a zero-sum game. So if I get something, that means somebody's losing something. If I give something, that means I don't have it anymore. And while this might be true in some very narrow circumstances, where you would say, okay, yes, it's a zero-sum game, or there's only one winner possible. So for example, like in sports, you know, we don't have a medal for everyone. It's just one team wins. But in relationships, the good news is there is really enough for everybody, and you don't have to ever worry about running out. Because what are we talking about here? Being helpful, giving value, giving compliments, giving advice, giving your time. Yeah, time is finite and you should be careful about how you spend it. But, you know, ultimately, if you give someone some of your time, it's not like now they have to think about, oh my gosh, I owe Haleli 30 minutes. She's given me 30 minutes. Now I have to give her 30 minutes back. Because it doesn't work in such a finite way like that. So there's so much opportunity out there. And I definitely know, and sounds like you have as well, Mac, that the payback sometimes is unexpected. It comes from unexpected places. It comes at unexpected times. And sometimes it's like so circuitous that you just wonder like, oh my God, how did that even work out? So in the long term, everything kind of comes back to you in what you need, where you need it, and maybe from whom you need it. And it may not be from the person you help, but somebody else. And if everybody views the world this way, then it will actually work out.
Well, let's talk about giving. What suggestions do you have for listeners about how to be a good giver, either during a job search or in a career? And I know there are other ways they could do it in other parts of their life too, but with our focus on job hunting and careers, what tactical suggestions do you have for folks?
Yeah, so, okay. One of the easiest ways for you to give is to give compliments, give appreciation. So think about the people that you already know and think about when was the last time that you showed them that you care about them, or that you appreciate them, or that you recognize their work, or that you maybe share something that they've done with other people. You know, like you and I put out a podcast. We both know that there's lots more people listening than people sharing, right? I mean, if more of the people that value your podcast shared it with others, that would help you, right? And that you would appreciate that so much. So, or give you a review, right? Go into Apple Podcasts and write a short review. It doesn't take very much time. It's so easy to do. But that's something that differentiates you from many, many others who might be thinking kind things but aren't expressing them. So a very easy thing to do is to just start thinking about who can you thank, who can you recognize, whose work can you share, how can you positively comment on something that someone else worked hard to do and show them that you value it.
What kind of benefits could listeners expect to see by adopting that behavior?
So if you think about how people, in terms of psychology, you tend to want to reciprocate. We have mirror neurons in our brain that cause us to want to mirror the behavior that we receive from someone. So if someone shows you kindness, you want to give them kindness back. And it's not, again, it's not explicit. Like, you don't think about this in a mathematical kind of methodical way, but it's like your brain is actually wired, because we're a social species. Our brain is wired for reciprocity. So you are creating a need in others to pay you back. And again, I don't mean that you should manipulate people or that you should do this in some kind of a conniving way, but I'm saying that we can feel comfortable giving value, giving recognition, giving appreciation to others, because it's not going to run out. We're not going to not have any more thank yous to give if we give someone a thank you. But for that person, we just came across their radar, but we didn't come across their radar as, oh, that's Haleli, she's always asking for something. No, I came across their radar as, oh, wow, Haleli just out of the blue emailed me and said, thank you for whatever, you know, or good job on such and such. So the next time I interact with you, I remember you as the giver. And if you do this again and you do this again, when it's time for, let's say, I think of you more. I think of you more readily. I know more about you. I want to ask about you some more. And now you might share with me in a conversation when I ask back about what are you up to? What's going on with you? You might say, well, you know, I'm actually looking for my next job. This is what I'm looking to do. And I'll say, oh my gosh, you know, I know someone who is a great connection. Let me connect you.
Well, let's talk about job searching and networking in an authentic way. Are there, for someone who is pursuing a particular kind of opportunity, maybe they want to work at a certain company or change careers, what kind of authentic networking can they do that's going to help advance that while, again, being generous to others?
Well, so one of the things that's coming out of the world of network science is the idea that most opportunities for people, especially like in job searches and things like this, actually come from what is called your dormant ties. The dormant ties are like, well, if you think about like a target, you know, like a circle within a circle. Inside of the circle is your core network. These are the people that you're 12 to 18 people that you interact with the most. And then you have your close ties. Those are the people that are next closest to you. And then you have your dormant ties. Those are like your weak ties. And those are people that you haven't talked to in a while. You know them, but maybe you didn't talk for a couple of years. Maybe they were kind of like your job buddy at your previous job, but not the last job. So when you reach out to your dormant ties, the statistics show that they are the ones that are most likely to give you helpful advice or opportunities for, you know, your next job or really great connections. So What I would suggest if you're looking for a job is to start rekindling connections with your dormant ties. Now, I think this should be really good news for some of the people that are like, oh my God, I don't want to go to a networking event or to send out like cold letters to people I've never met or to just answer ads in some listing someplace, right? You don't need to connect with people you've never met. This is actually just reaching out to someone you haven't talked to in a while, but who knows you, like, and you know them, and then just saying, hi, hey, what's going on? I was just thinking about you. You can call them, you can email them, you know, you can find them on a social networking network and connect there and just reach out and start a conversation just to catch up. And that's something that all of us know how to do. It's not that hard because you already know something about them. You already have some kind of kinship. It's just gotten a little cold. And those are the people that, again, statistically, those are the people that are most likely going to be able to connect you with your next opportunity, but you don't reach out and ask for something. You reach out to check in. You reach out to say hello. You reach out with kindness and generosity and no expectations. But you also know that by rekindling that connection, you are on their radar now. And by you asking them curious questions about themselves and just showing interest, they're very likely to reciprocate. And that will be your in to talk about what you're up to and what you're looking for.
So it's as simple as reaching out and doing something you probably already enjoy, like perhaps having a cup of coffee or just sharing some information you know that might be useful to this colleague or contact.
Exactly.
Yeah. Before I lose this thought, I just want to touch again on generosity. I met a fellow, a colleague who does something. Teaches his interns something that I think is very wise. Every summer he has several interns. And in addition to their regular responsibilities, he asks them every Friday afternoon to sit down and send three thank you notes to people that they've met or worked with during the course of that summer internship. And I think that's such a powerful example of both generosity and what a wonderful thing to teach somebody who's beginning their career.
And those are so, again, it seems so obvious. I bet you every single person who just listened to you is not saying, oh my God, I never thought about that before. I bet you every single person listening is saying, yeah, I know you're supposed to. And then if we asked you, did you really do that anytime recently? Most people are too busy. So putting that, I kind of liken it. I love that idea. And I kind of liken that type of activity to brushing teeth. Do you think about it like brushing teeth?
It's something you make a habit of and you do on a regular basis. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
And when you habituate it, you know, we don't brush teeth because we're like eagerly await the moment we can finally brush our teeth. I mean, I think there's some people like that, but they're, you know, they have other issues. But most people understand that there is a long-term benefit to it. It's not a big deal. It doesn't hurt. It's not that hard. And once you habituate it, you don't have to think about it or make a decision. It's not extra effort. You just do it. So you could take almost any small activity like writing thank you notes and habituate it like toothbrushing.
Yeah, it's an excellent tip. And I, full disclosure, I'll confess that you will get a thank you note after the show because my colleague Jessica has incorporated that into our work process. But I write those notes with sincerity and gratitude because I would also encourage listeners to think for a moment about the handwritten cards they get, the thank you notes. I find many people hold on to those cards for a long time, don't they?
Yeah, and it makes a lasting impression and it definitely differentiates you. I think it's a lost art writing. And I mean, how much mail do we get now? It's like very little. So if you get something hand addressed in the mail, you're going to open it, right? It's going to be unique. And you know, one other thing you can do that's similar to it, there's a guy called Adam Rifkin and his claim to fame, he started a couple of startups that are very successful, but his claim to fame is that he's the most networked man in Silicon Valley. And one of the things that he does, his tricks, because he says he's an introvert, is that he has 5-minute favors. He does 5-minute favors every day. And that's very similar to that thank you note or my generosity points that I've shared so far. And one other thing that he does a lot is he makes an introduction between two people that are in his network that don't know each other, but should. So again, something where this is a kindness, right? You're not asking for anything. You're giving two different people a connection that you think is of value to them, because you shouldn't just randomly connect people, because that's just, you know, a burden. But if there is some reason why those two people should connect, but they don't know each other, you've just helped two people with one fell swoop. It takes almost no time. And the one upgrade I would suggest is try to make it what is called a double opt-in introduction rather than a hot potato introduction, which is the name I've called it.
So tell us the difference between the two.
So a hot potato introduction, and we've all received this, is where you just sort of throw the hot potato over to the other person's lap and leave it there. Like, let's say I meet someone, I think you should know Mac. And what I do is I tell that person, oh my God, you should meet Mac. You guys should definitely connect. And then I send you an introduction copying that person and saying, Mac, meet Joe. Joe's la la la. Here's the reason. And here's the reason why I think Joe could really value meeting you, Mac, and I hope you connect. Now, let's just say for you right now, it's not a good time, or you know, you have a personal issue taking up your energy, or you don't really think it's a good connection, or for whatever reason, you don't welcome this, but I've just thrown it over to you, and now you actually have a new to-do that you didn't ask for, that you might not value. Well, if we think about giving things, you know, giving gifts, giving generously should be something that is of value to the other person. So a double opt-in would be when I tell Joe I want him to meet, or I think he should meet you, I'll say to Joe, well, let me just double check with Mac that this is a good time, that this makes sense before I make that introduction. And then I take that one extra action where I reach out to you, Mac, and I say, hey, Mac, I know Joe, this is why I think you should connect. I should kind of lay it out in terms of what's in it for you, both of you. And then would that be okay? And now you get to tell me, you know, Haleli, I really don't want to, or it's really not. And I don't put you in that awkward position of having to now have to deal with Joe, having never asked for it. Like, why did you just do this to me, Haleli? So again, it just helps to make sure that it's a pure give rather than some kind of a chore.
It's a good distinction. And I know our listeners, and certainly I know you and I have been on the receiving end of both sets of introductions. And while the hot potato is well-intentioned, we want to be responsive. And sometimes we, as you say, have other priorities. Well, this has been a terrific conversation. What I'm gleaning from it is, you know, networking can take a lot of different forms. If you're going to do it well, it needs to be authentic, true to yourself. It doesn't have to be about events, though that can certainly be part of your approach. And it needs to be a habit that you develop early in life and practice throughout your career. Is that a pretty good summary?
I think it's a great summary. And I would just say, because I know that some of your listeners are not early in life, it's never too late. It's never too late to start. It's always something you can add. And all of us have the necessary skill set.
Yeah, agreed. Well, thanks for the great conversation. Now, tell us, Haleli, what's next for you?
Well, when I started my podcast 3.5 years ago, it was twice a month. And then, as you mentioned, in 2018, I moved it to a weekly format. So that's been keeping me super busy and excited, trying to grow my output and also grow the reach. So that's been extremely fun. It also allows me to play with other kinds of formats other than just the interview. I enjoy continuing to travel. I travel around the country and sometimes even to other countries where I speak at conferences about topics related to leadership and communication skills and networking. And so, in fact, just before we started speaking today, I was working on a proposal for a conference where I'm going to speak with a couple of my mentors about how to start a business for some people in our field. So it's never a dull moment, but you know, when you do the work you love, then it's always fun to do work.
Great. Well, I know people can learn more about you by visiting your website, and that's www.talentgrow.com. And I think you have a special offer for our listeners this week, don't you, Haleli?
Yes, I do.
Tell
I would love
that.
To give listeners a free guide. It's called 10 Ways to Become a More Engaging communicator. And, you know, a lot of times people feel like it's hard to, you know, how do you start conversations? How do you sustain conversations? How do you communicate, like in an interview or in other situations, in a way that engages other people and draws them in? So this is part of what I teach in a lot of the workshops that I do. So I'd love to share that with them. And it's going to be over at the dedicated URL, talentgrow.com/dreamjob.
Terrific. We'll include that URL as well as the link for your own site in the show notes. And I, again, in addition to loving networking, I've actually enjoyed reading books about the art of conversation too. So I look forward to that PDF. Cool. Well, thank you again for joining us. And it's been a pleasure to have you on the show.
I've really enjoyed it, Mac. I really appreciate you inviting me and having the opportunity to share some of my ideas with your listeners, to whom all I wish lots of success in their career journey.
Well, thank you, Halaly. Take care. Well, that was a terrific conversation with Halaly Azulay. Really enjoyed her warmth and she's also a great listener, but I loved her points about the importance of relationships. And I love the way we started, too, with what networking shouldn't be and how, in fact, that's how many people think of it. So I know we'll include several blog posts that she's written in the show notes that provide more insights into how to do networking well and build these relationships in an authentic way. And she's got great content, too, about networking for introverts and shy people with some very practical tips. So check out the show notes. In addition to seeing people face-to-face when you network, a lot of networking happens online these days. And if you want to do it right, you really need to pay attention to your social accounts. And one way to help you do that is to check out our free guide, How to Wow and Woo Employers Online. It will lay out how you can put your best foot forward online, but also how to engage with people and be of service to them. So go to maxlist.org/wow. Again, that's maxlist.org/wow. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Find Your Dream Job, and join us next Wednesday. Our special guest will be Catalina Rojas. She'll explain how to negotiate a nonprofit salary. Until next time, thanks for letting us help you find your dream job.